This week I read comments on Facebook from clergy around the church. Clergy who are preaching this day, Trinity Sunday, and some expressed being nervous about explaining what is, of course, a mystery. Others feared they may accidentally stray into preaching heresy. I've also read posts from some parishioners and maybe even a seminarian looking forward to attending church this morning to listen to see if the preacher slips into heresy. I hope not to do so. Speaking of the Trinity seems to strike fear and worry into the heart of the strongest Christian. After all, how can we possibly speak of a mystery? Who among us can possibly understand the ineffable, the eternal, the all-powerful God? The God revealed to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons dwelling in unity of being as one Godhead. It is interesting, this is the only Sunday in our calendar dedicated to doctrine. And it can be tempting to think of the Holy Trinity as a futile theological exercise, attempting to comprehend the eternal God. After all, we are taught the doctrine of the Trinity is a mystery beyond our understanding. We being creatures, we being created by God the Trinity. What can we possibly understand or know about God? How can we dare to speak of the Trinity as all of our language is but metaphor for what is a much greater reality, a reality beyond our comprehension? Yet, each year we keep this first Sunday after Pentecost as the day to celebrate the mystery of God. And each year preachers wrestle with how to speak of the Trinity in all God's immensity and transcendence. Now, I will resist the temptation this morning to indulge in a history of the doctrine of the Trinity, quoting ancient Greek theology, though part of me would very much enjoy doing so. I do think, however, that history can be a helpful starting place in thinking and talking about God, God revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For the ancient church did not set out to write theology about the nature of God, resulting in the understanding of God as Trinity. Rather, the early church set out to teach the faith handed them from Jesus through the apostles. They desired to adequately prepare candidates for baptism by teaching them this faith. They also desired a deeper understanding of God as revealed in Scripture, both the Hebrew Scripture, the Old Testament, and the New Testament, the Christian writings. And it was noticed that in Scripture, God is revealed first and foremost up at the beginning as the creator of all things, beginning right with the opening of Genesis. Genesis recounts how from a void God created all that is, pronouncing everything that is created, including humanity, good. Our first lesson this morning from the book of Proverbs tells how before anything else was created, God created wisdom. Wisdom is present at each stage of creation. So wisdom is of old. Wisdom is beside God through the act of creation and delights in what God is making. And the lesson tells us that wisdom rejoices in the inhabited world, delights in the human race. In Scripture, we find God's first act to be that of creation, to make all there is so that all may be in relationship with God. And God makes humanity, you and me, in God's image, to be in relationship with God. And God delights in and rejoices over humanity and rejoices over all that is created. In the New Testament, God, who created wisdom and all of creation, puts on human flesh in the person of Jesus. The prologue to John's Gospel tells how the eternal Word, present at the creation, puts on humanity and dwells with us. In Jesus, we see God made flesh. God, who created everything, becomes one with us, walking among us. In today's Gospel, from the Gospel according to John, Jesus teaches that he and the Father are one. All the Father has is his. If you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. And when Jesus leaves his disciples, going to his death, resurrection, and ascension, he promises the Holy Spirit will come upon his followers. And the Spirit is that abiding presence of God, God dwelling with God's people, filling them, guiding them, teaching them, even praying through them, and in all things drawing us closer to God. So in Scripture, the church came to understand that God, who is one, is known to God's people as Father, who with the Son creates all there is. And as the Son, through whom God becomes human and through whose death and resurrection humanity is redeemed, lifting us even to the divine life. And God, the Holy Spirit, sent by the Father and the Son, who abides with us, who teaches us, who leads us into all truth. Ultimately, the statement of Trinitarian doctrine expresses how we as humans experience God revealed to us. The full comprehension of the reality of the God is, of course, beyond us. But we know God revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and this is not a dry, lifeless theological statement, but the reality in which we live. It is the life into which we are baptized, being incorporated into the very life of the Trinity through the waters of baptism. And at heart, the Trinity is about relationship. God creating us to be in relationship. God saving us from all that separates us from the love of God. God dwelling within us, leading us deeper into the heart of God. God is a community of love, one God in three persons bound together in love, and desiring to share this divine life with us, bringing us to dwell in that dynamic, creating, loving life of the Trinity. There is a well-known icon of the Trinity. It's a Russian icon, and it expresses this dynamic, loving relationship found within the Trinity. And in fact, it is this day in the baptistry in front of the font, if you want to take a look at it later. It was created in the 15th century by Andrei Rublev. And this icon shows three figures seated at a table. And the story of the icon begins with the story of Abraham, who in the 18th chapter of Genesis finds himself entertaining mysterious visitors, these angelic beings. While based on this story of Abraham entertaining these beings, feeding them, showing them hospitality, the icon is understood as a representation of the Trinity. Three persons sit together at a table. They are united in love. They are sharing a meal. And there is an open place at that table, a place closest to the one viewing the icon. That is the seat reserved for the viewer, who is invited to come to that table and to share in that love feast with the Trinity. The doctrine of the Trinity is not simply a dry theological statement, but an attempt to express the dynamic relationship of love the three persons of the Trinity share. And we are created by God to say yes, yes to the invitation of the Trinity, an invitation to enter into the divine life of love shared by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Can we fully understand the nature of God? No. We are the creatures of God. Can we comprehend how we can be incorporated into the love of God? Not fully. Can we discern the depths of the activities of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the world? Not completely. We can, however, understand, however feebly or incompletely it may seem, the revelation that God seeks to welcome us into the community of love shared by the three persons of the Trinity. And the response to this reality, the response we are called to make, is to worship God. In our collect today, we pray that through grace, God has given us the confession of a true faith, whereby we acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity, and in the power of God's divine majesty to worship the unity. We are called to joyfully accept this faith we have been given, and at God's invitation, to worship the unity of the Trinity. Our response to God revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is to acknowledge the mystery of God while worshiping who we can, the one we cannot know but yet can worship. We are called to worship a God who loves us enough to create us for relationship with God, A God who loves us so much as to become one with us, suffering upon the cross, dying, and being raised on the third day. We're called to worship a God who comes upon us in the Holy Spirit, breathing in us, leading us into all truth, even praying for us. Our God, revealed as the Holy Trinity, is a God who is at once transcendent and beyond us, and a God who walked among us in our human flesh and took our human flesh to the throne of God. A God who is so close as to be within us, as to be our breath. Through the waters of baptism, we are united with God, the Trinity, incorporated into the divine love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May we remain faithful in our worship of the Trinity. Through the faithful act of our devotion, we come evermore into communion with God, being drawn deeper into the heart of God. Until that time, we take our place in the heavenly banquet, that place where we will worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for eternity in the heavenly city. Now to God be the glory, for yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.